What a way to come into his house to worship. We got a quartet, piano, first service we had a duet, plus piano and worship. What a wonderful, wonderful way to come in and just fall on our knees before him. Let's go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and finish off the sermon that was started last Sunday morning. Yes, thinking about sanctification. In one of the most important passages that deals with sanctification. Actually, we have been preaching on sanctification for the last 6 months. From verse 1, those who are sanctified, those who are saints, and we got a good group of saints here today. We have been sanctified by growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and accepting the profound assurance of salvation that we have. We have been working through sanctification as the Holy Spirit has clarified our values in chapter 1. And then as he has told us in verse 27 that we are to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And this chapter 2, he has been working at sanctification in our lives, that we have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's stand as we read Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And if you're joining us by radio and also by Facebook, I invite you to, if you're not driving, to turn over in your talker to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And so then, my beloved, and just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed, we continue to come before you in worship. And now as we worship through your word, asking that the Holy Spirit illumine our minds. Know, Lord, that you would give us a hunger for your word, a hunger for Christ's likeness, a hunger to be all that you want us to be in our Christian life. So we bow before you and we simply say, speak, Lord, speak, because your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13, one of the most important passages on the subject of sanctification. Being set apart to God, changes to take place in our lives as believers. Sanctification began the very moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That moment when you heard the gospel call, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And in that moment, you trusted in him. And that moment, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and to give you forgiveness of your sins. In that moment, God the Father declared that you were just in his sight. And that will never, ever change. In that moment, you are sanctified. Positionally, positional sanctification. You have a position before the Lord God, set apart to Him, set apart for His glory, that never ever changes. Isn't that encouraging? In that moment also, your everyday practice of sanctification began. And He who began a good work in you will never, ever stop. Sanctification. Back to sanctification. Once again, it's a progressive thing that goes on all throughout the whole life. Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ." That's sanctification. And so the question comes to our minds, how do we do it? We've looked at last Sunday morning. Our responsibilities. It's not a let go and let God do it, as you hear in some of the popular preaching in our day. We have a responsibility. We're to cooperate with what God is doing. Sanctification began that moment we were saved as born-again Christians, regenerated spiritually. And in the normal Christian life, it should increase daily. Every day until the day we see the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, your experience is like mine. There's some good days when we're really growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there are days when we have awful struggles. There are days when we don't submit to Him. We have days when we don't have a good attitude. There are days when we struggle at this thing of sanctification, separating our lives to the Lord God. Sanctification is never complete in this life. Don't be deceived. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We don't have a good perspective of our personal being, John says. And we will see in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 16 later on that God is not through with us and we're not perfect yet. And the more persistent we are in our yearning to obtain the high prize of God in sanctification in our daily life, we understand our sinfulness. And indeed, as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Christ, the more we mature, the more is our realization that, hey, I'm not yet there. The more we mature in a Christian walk, we realize that, man, that is sin. The more we realize that it's not the glaring big things of sin. It's the little things. It's attitudes. It's the way we think that are also sins. And those are things as we mature, as we grow, we become more and more aware of. That our sanctification will never be complete in this life. But as we grow, we become more and more aware of areas in our Christian life that needs to change. There are some things we need to take off. It's like our clothing. There are some old rags we need to get rid of. We need to take off. But there's a new garments of righteousness that God has provided for us in our sanctification that we need to put on. And the more we grow spiritually, and there are kinds of sins that we become aware of. We read the Word of God, and all of a sudden there's a sense of, good grief, that sin? Been doing this all my life. Got a good habit at it. But in reality, it does not please Him. And that's one of the areas that needs to be cut out of our lives. As we mature, many times during the day, we're free from a consciousness of sin. And hey, man, we're living the Christ life. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's the realization that, hey, this needs to be confessed. I need to receive the forgiveness of the Lord, repentance, and walk by faith in Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we see the God and man cooperating in sanctification. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 in your Bibles. And so then, my beloved, my agapitoi, my divinely loved ones, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, saints is who he's talking to. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not just in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work, to do his good pleasure. Because God is at work in our lives, he produces his work in us. And that becomes a joint participation with him. We saw last Sunday in verse 12 that the people of sanctification are those who've been born again, those who have a living relationship with him. We're not talking about work salvation when he says work out your salvation. He's talking to us who know how Christ is our Savior. And we saw the path of sanctification just as you have always obeyed. How sad when we forget obedience is a vital part of the Christian life. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's like mother these days that comes along and says, when's the last time you cleaned up your room? And a couple of days later, she comes along and says, your room needs a little bit of work on it, doesn't it? And then you're reminded as you read the scriptures, if we love Jesus, we will what? Obey your mother? No. Obey him. But it works itself out in our daily life. So just as you have always obeyed, Paul says, work it out. 30 times in this passage of scripture, he uses the word work, ergon. Work it out. Hard work. There's responsibility on our part, and there's the prompting of the Holy Spirit as we're reminded to work it out with fear and with trembling. So we have a responsibility in this thing. But God is also at work. And as Brad has been teaching you guys and the rest of us, that there are three principles we need to keep in mind as we look at the scriptures. Observe, observe, observe. Read it, read it, read it. Read it over and over and over again. One popular pastor through years said, I never preach a passage of scripture unless I have read it 50 times at least. Hey, that's getting familiar with the word. That's absorbing yourself with the word. Observe it. And then interpret it. Make sure you don't jump from observation to application without understanding the truth of what the passage says. If you jump from observation to application, you become like some of this nonsense we see on YouTube. It will get you in bad trouble really quick. Observe, interpret, apply. It's like eating banana, you know? Observe it, interpret it, apply it. Well, how do you interpret it? I'm glad you asked that question. I love every time I look at a passage of scripture, wherever I am, five interrogative pronouns. Who, what, when, where, why, and how come? Ask it. Ask it on every verse. Make yourself think through passages of scripture before jumping to apply it. Well, verse 13, let's look at it that way. Who is at work in our sanctification? Paul says, for it's God. God is the one who is at work in their sanctification. God the Father in the context. From verse 1 to here, it's God the Father who is working in our lives. He's the one who is applying sanctification. Oh, he uses the agency of the Holy Spirit. He uses agency, instrumentality of the Word of God. The Father will complete what he began back in verses 5 and 6. The Trinity and the reality are involved in this work of sanctification for God. God is at work in you. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? What's God doing in our sanctification? For it is God who is at work. He's working. Just as we have responsibility, he's working. It's present tense. Every moment, every second, every hour of the day, God is the one who's working inside of us. Never takes a day off. Not just on Sundays. But every hour, every moment, every day, he's doing his work in our lives. And it's a dynamic work. God works in us, works in me, works in you. And everything in these two verses concentrate on work. God working out what he has worked into us at regeneration. These words remind us that God is energetic. That he's full of energy, that he's always active, always involved, always engaged in the believer's life. We tend sometimes to departmentalize. We put him over here in this category, while we want to live over here in this category. He's at work, and he's also at work in you and me. God the Father is right now, presently, this very moment, working in every person who is sitting here today. He's like the potter. Remember the potter wheel over in Jeremiah? As the potter spins the clay and whops off this piece and puts another piece on and works it out and forming it, molding it. That's what God the Father is doing in our lives right now, this very moment. He's fashioning us. He's forming us. He's making us in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is upholding us. He sustains us. He encourages us. He convicts us. He challenges us. He comforts us. He brings us to those moments in our lives as believers as he fashions us into his likeness. Right now, this very moment, God is at work, and every one of us here, the illumination of the Holy Spirit as he opens up the Word of God. He knows our hearts. He probes our hearts. He speaks to us. Do we have a tendency when we know that he is speaking to us that we shut him out? We close the door? We tell him, no, 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 we don't want you working in this part of our life. He's at work, always working, never stops in your life, in mine. Where's God at work? Well, Paul tells us, for it is God who is at work in you. Just like back at chapter 1, verse 1. Now, who's at work? We're saints. We have been set apart to him. We're his property. He's at work in each one of us, the church at Philippi, churches down through history, Dixie Baptist Church, the individuals who are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's at work in us, every believer, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. This becomes very personal, doesn't it? Not like some object out there somewhere. It's not like other religions of the world. This is something that's very personal. God is at work inside me. God is at work inside you right now, this very moment. It's not superficial. In our minds, God's at work. God's at work in our minds right now, this very moment, I don't see anyone nodding off going to sleep this morning. He's at work. He's at work in our minds. He's at work in our hearts. There's a probing in our desires right now, this very moment. He probes in our affections. Do we love him with all of the mind, with all the heart, with all the soul? He probes our wills right now. Do you have a problem with the will? Problem with, I don't want to? I don't want to read my Bible every day. I don't want to pray for the preacher every day. I don't want to. And we pick them off one by one. He probes in the want to's as well. The entire Trinity is at work. For it is God who is at work in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, 27. God the Holy Spirit comes. He convicts, he calls, repentance, forgiveness, whole new life. And this encourages. It encourages us and it challenges us to be all that God wants us to be. How does he do it? How does God bring about this change that he wants to work out in our lives as believers? How is God at work in our sanctification, both to will and to work? God's at work, moving in our wills. He gives that want to in order to accomplish the work that he wants to do in our lives. He deals with our want to's. He brings about changes deep within the real you. Every good desire, every Christian thought, every aspiration that I have that is pleasing to the Lord God. He's the one who's working it out. He's the one who brings about changes in the will to please him. God controls our willing. It's God who energizes my desire, my hopes, my aspirations, my thoughts. He's the one who stimulates it. Earlier this morning, before the first worship service, a member of this church has sort of face just flashed through my mind, and I got off to the side and I dialed him up. I talked to him a few minutes, reminded him that we're praying for you today, that your congregation is praying for you today. You have those moments? Somebody just places somebody in your mind, on your heart. Do you pick up the phone and give them a call? Do you pause and pray for that individual? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of sanctification in our lives. How about a colleague or a friend or a family member that who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you appreciate how you mind? Or do you just pause and pray for the individual? Praying, Lord, I pray today that so-and-so will yield to you and put the faith and trust in you as their personal Savior. Or if the Holy Spirit is pressing in upon your soul and saying, you need to talk to Rosita. You need to talk to Jorge. You need to tell them about Jesus. You need to walk down the plan of salvation, the Roman road, with them today. Do you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's the preacher's job, you know. That's for the deacons to do, not me. Sanctification. That's what sanctification is all about. He prepares us. He's working in us to prepare us to the place where he can invite us to come and join him in what he's doing. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's what sanctification is all about. And when he has prepared us to the place where he can take us and use us, then he invites us to come and join him in what he's doing. And boy, the moment we step out by faith and trust him and do what he's leading us to do, man, we experience God. We experience him in all of his power and all the wonder of who he is. You've had that experience. You know what I'm talking about. And it's easy for us to forget the wonder of growing in grace and being the people that God wants us to be. He gives us that desire. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's his work in you. And it becomes one of the most joyous things that you can ever do in your Christian life. And so the question becomes, where is God in your life today? What's he doing in your life this very moment? He's at work. His word says it. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's at work in you right now, this very moment. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Is there some area in your life that you say, not here, that's my closet and nobody gets in it, God doesn't get in it, and anybody else, okay? Hope not, because that's his closet. That's his area of work. Do we say, yea, Lord, here am I. Examine my heart. Examine my desires. Examine my ambitions. Examine, Lord, the way I think. Are there some changes that need to be made in our cognitions? Are some changes that need to be made the way we talk to ourselves? I'll go back to my illustration. If God put a tape recorder up to your brain and recorded everything you say to yourself all day long, played it back for the whole wide world to hear, what would we hear? Those things. That's right. Are some things that need to be changed? The way we talk to ourselves, cognitions? We talk ourselves into all kinds of misery. We need to change some tapes. We'll deal more with that when we go with Philippians chapter 4. In our lives, and our lives as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, God influences your will. And he'll change your will if you allow him to do so. Paul talks about being under the control of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture here. God's at work. God's at work in our sanctification. He causes dissatisfaction in some things in our lives. Are there some behaviors that need to change in our lives? But the Holy Spirit comes along and gives you such a bad taste of things that need to change. that need to be removed. It comes along and gives us holy desires for the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is sanctification. This is the real stuff. Why is God at work in our sanctification? Paul says, for his good pleasure. Because it brings joy to God. Because it brings happiness to the Lord God. And God loves for us to be conformed in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So then, my divinely loved ones, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. You can't shuck it off from somebody else. You can't rewrite it. That's a preacher's job. That's a deacon's job. It's my job. For it's God at work in you, in me. I almost read as we were reading the scriptures earlier, for it is God who is at work in me because I have circled me and put I circled you and put me in big letters across it. For it's God who is at work in me, both to will and to work and do his good pleasure. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you and just simply pray, Lord, increase our capacity for more of you. Lord, give us a hunger for you, a hunger for your word, a hunger for your presence. Lord, make us sensitive to your presence. Lord, feel free to just pop out in our mind, our hearts, any time of the day, anywhere. Oh Lord, that our knowledge of you may grow more and more and more intimate. No hidden closets. So that you are free to come and settle down and make yourself completely at home in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.